Psalm 131. Well, this is one of the Songs of Degrees, which were Hezekiah's response to being given another 15 years of life. And you remember the degrees of the sundial went down by 10 degrees. And so it seems that he wrote these or used these Songs of Degrees at that time. And I think this particular one in Psalm 131, you can see how very appropriate it is. He says, "My eyes are not lofty, my heart isn't haughty," verse 1. "I've now calmed myself and become like a little child." He'd been moaning and desperately jabbering and crying to God in his begging to be saved from the death that he'd been told he was going to experience. And, well, he had been saved and now he's calmed right down. But what happened? Okay, God gave him 15 years. But then the ambassadors from the king of Babylon come and he becomes proud and he turns away, it seems to me, from God. And Isaiah comes and rebukes him and Hezekiah shrugs and says, "Yeah, well, okay, you say there's going to be judgment upon my family for this after I'm gone. So what? I've got 15 years and okay, praise God, I'm not going to get any judgment myself. So that's good. All's good. I shall be okay. There'll be peace and truth in my days. That's good enough for me." And of course, he raises this awful son, Manasseh, and all the wonderful prophecies of Isaiah about what could have happened at that time, the restoration of the kingdom, etc., and the establishment of some form of messianic kingdom with him as the ruler, all that didn't come true. I want to focus, though, on verse 1, where he says, "Yahweh, my heart isn't proud." And yet the very same phrase in Hebrew is used about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. When the ambassadors from Babylon came, there he was, everyone had sent him presents and congratulated him because he had, as it were, in God's strength, defeated the Assyrians. So he was very popular and powerful now with all the nations, and his heart was lifted up. But now, just in the moment when the prayer is answered and he gets better, he says, "Oh, my heart isn't proud." But his heart was lifted up in pride. He did become proud. Well, you can never actually say to God, "God, Yahweh, I'm not proud." This is a trouble. Pride is such a slippery thing. As soon as you think, "Oh, I'm not proud," well, you sort of are, as it were. And humility is of such absolutely critical importance to God, and he so detests pride. And yet you can see what happened. He was brought very low, as man is brought very low at times, and he becomes very humble when the answer comes. He's begging God, "Please, please, please save me." Yep, oh, the answer comes. "Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm very humble." But he doesn't stay down. He doesn't stay like that. And surely we can see this in our own lives and in the lives of others, that there are times when man comes down very small before God. I think it doesn't happen that often that we have those crises that do that. It could be a cancer scare, could be a health issue, either in our lives or our immediate family and loved ones. Could be a financial crisis, it could be anything. It could be facing death in a violent, dangerous situation, all sorts of things. A very complex legal situation, false accusation, all sorts of things that, you know, that hit you out of left field. Now, you don't have so many of those things in your life where you really are desperate and you are driven to your knees before God. And humanly speaking, you'd say, "Well, that's a good thing. You don't have crises all the time." But spiritually, I suppose it's a shame, or, you know, we could do with more of them, because the tendency is to get down on your knees, to become very small before God, both during the crisis when you're begging for help and when the amazing answer comes and the deliverance comes, but you don't stay down. As time goes by, you come to reassess the narrative, to rewrite the narrative in your own mind, to say, well, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, well, oh, yeah, yeah, God was good to me. But, of course, what happened was this, and, well, yeah, okay, what happened was that. I think you see it with David, with the sins of Bathsheba, gets Uriah and other soldiers murdered. And, well, he's rebuked, he's confronted with it, he realises he's done wrong, he asks for forgiveness when he deserves the death penalty, and God gives it to him, and he's very humble, writing psalms of humility and so on. And yet, well, I get the impression that as the years went by, he did come to rationalise and justify his behaviour. And Nathan tells him, you've sinned, and therefore, right, you won't die, but you're going to have a lot of grief from your own family. But when it happens, and there's Absalom's rebellion, and again he's writing psalms, he keeps describing himself as the innocent, and he asks God to judge these horrible people like Ahithophel and others who are making his life a misery because he says, you know, I'm the innocent one here, and these wicked people are persecuting me. You think, oh, wait a minute, David, Nathan told you this was going to happen because of your sins. But you insist that you're so righteous and innocent. Do you not get it? Have you forgotten? And he clearly had. And you know, when he's on the run from Absalom, of course, he's cursed by Shimei, and Joab and them want to go and kill Shimei. And he says, no, don't curse him. Don't, you know, God has told him to curse me. And Shimei was throwing stones at David as if to say, you deserve to be stoned to death. And David's all very humble about it. And then when he does come back to Jerusalem after Absalom's killed, Shimei comes and says, oh, you know, please forgive me. And David says, yeah, that's fine, I forgive you. But on his deathbed, he says to Solomon, now about Shimei, the old white-haired guy, you know the fella? Bring those white hairs down to the grave with blood on them, please. Yes, sir, Solomon says. So, unfortunately, David didn't maintain that intensity. And yeah, you can see it in yourself if you're honest. And as I say, you're not given these moments that bring you down into absolute humility very often, because God has structured his purpose like that, because he's not going to keep forcing you down. He is not going to keep making you humble and you know, bringing you down all the time. That's not how God wants to behave. And therefore, he does it just a few times, I think, in the course of human life. And when it happens, the whole intention is that you stay down, that you live with an abiding awareness of your weakness and of your need for God and your deep gratitude. The problem with gratitude is that it tends to be just for the moment, and that is not what God wants. And so here, as I say in verse 1, he says, Yahweh, my heart isn't haughty, my heart isn't proud. But, 2 Chronicles 35, his heart was lifted up. His heart was proud. Very same words. So, I think you have to conclude then that he did not stay down. And this, I think, is the challenge. Stay down. Stay humble. Don't try to subsequently justify yourself. Don't justify yourself in your own eyes. When these things happen, and I'll say they do happen at various points in your life, not every 5 minutes, not every week, not every month, but they do happen, then perceive this and stay down.